The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is former Pro Bowl center for the Buffalo Bills, Eric Wood, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on the Circling the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
So that was a crushing defeat of the Buffalo Bills at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs, losing this one in Orchard Park, 27-24. I'm with my co-host, Mike, right now. John's about to join us. I don't know. I want to blame Bass for this, and the wide right thing just hurts even more, to be honest. But, I mean, the Bills' offense didn't look good in the second half. You know what I mean? Like, I guess if you're looking for blame in this game, you know, they scored 17 points in the first half and only 7 points in the second half. They couldn't really get the ball moving on the ground, and then Allen made some poor throws, and Diggs dropped a pass. And then all of a sudden, you know, they got so lucky, Mike, on that fake punt with DeMar Hamlin that ended up getting stuffed. And
maybe it's because I've only seen highlights, but anytime I've seen a fake punt, it's an amazing play. Only with the Bills is it like stuffed at the line.
I've never seen a fake punt get stuffed that badly.
And that's when it's like at the opponent's 40, right? This is like, oh, there's no way they would ever fake it. Like it's so outside the realm of possibility because where they were in the field.
Caught him completely off guard. Not only that, the broadcasters are saying they only had 10 people on the field. Be like, they had 8 blockers to 4. Like there's no way that they're going to stop. The Chiefs special teamers all of a sudden all become Ray Lewis at the same exact time, stuffing DeMar Hamlin behind the line. Oh, that was rough.
What did you think? Geez, it just looms large because it was the end of the game. We're prisoners of the moment. But that last drive by the Bills, it felt like, okay, they're going to do it. They're not going to give the ball back to the Chiefs. We're not settling for a field goal. We're just going to dink, dunk, first down. And like that whole drive, it worked. And then when it got to like the 30-yard line or 25, like then Josh started going to the end zone with 2 minutes left. With the Chiefs still had 2 timeouts, and it's just like, just do not go for the long ball there. Just first down, touchdown, game over.
Exactly. You're playing for the first down. You're not playing for the touchdown.
That was the most frustrating part of the game for me. I thought it was like, this is setting up perfectly.
Yeah.
The Chiefs defense couldn't stop the run all game, and in theory, they would have been worn down with 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, and that's when Josh did the 2 passes to the end zone that weren't even close.
They were uncatchable almost. And they were good coverage. Like it wasn't like the guy was open or I don't know.
And he had open receivers like Diggs with the crossing route.
As soon as that
get the
play
first
started,
down, keep the clock going.
Exactly.
What you want. It's better than the touchdown.
Exactly. To me, it was 4 down territory. Like 4 down territory to get the touchdown. Like to get the touchdown and the game. End the game, four down territory, whatever you have to do. Don't settle for the field goal. Figure that you're going to. And then they were just like, well, I don't know. Like you said, Diggs was streaking across the field and Josh couldn't see him. He had his eyes set on Shakir in the end zone and a miscommunication.
Like you never thought Bass would miss that kick, right? You gotta think.
Oh, I did.
Money.
Oh, I did.
Point.
I did for sure. He was one of three last week. I'm like, this is not a guarantee at all. 44 yarder, absolutely not guaranteed. He missed a 27 yarder last week, but that was me. I'm not a huge Bass fan this season. I already said that his field goal percentage was.
I thought they would get closer. But
yeah, me too.
And kick that maybe with 10 seconds to go, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm not. Even if he makes that, it's like, well, Mahomes is going to come down and the Chiefs are going to kick a field goal and win it. Like, what does that do for us?
No, exactly. Exactly. That doesn't do anything. It's.
What was kind of disappointing, though, too, is just the drops. I thought nobody did Allen any favors. Like, the Diggs one was huge. The Sherfield drops. It's just
a couple of them.
Man. Yeah. The first one, didn't you think the defender had his arm tied up?
Oh, yeah. I posted
that
on
could have
Twitter.
Been PI for sure.
I posted on Twitter. It wasn't PI, but yeah. But yeah, no, let's call PI on the guy that gets hit 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, like
that
40 seconds after the
insane.
Play, after the play was done, fourth down. And then all of a sudden, like, they're about to go to commercial. And what's this? What's this flying across the screen?
You were like waiting with bated breath to see if a flag, right? So was I. And they're like, I guess there's no flag. And then you see something fly across the screen.
Like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? I've never seen a flag come in that late. Like, the punter was on the field probably.
It was like five Mississippi. And then you're like, oh, it had to have been a snowball or something.
A yellow snowball just happened to throw it from the sidelines. Unbelievable.
The only saving grace there is that they ultimately then stopped it.
Yeah, that they ended up stopping.
Yeah.
Dorian Williams pulled a Kyir Elam from last week and totally redeemed himself with that tackle on Mahomes to force a fourth down in the punt. Mm-hmm. The first punt of the game by the Chiefs. So, yeah. So, it was different. It was a tale of two halves. The Bills could run the ball really well in the first half, and then the second half, it felt like they couldn't run the ball at all, and then they also couldn't pass the ball. I mean, Josh.
Do you feel
Allen,
like they got tight, like they were worried about not turning the ball over?
I'm going to say something that Bills fans aren't going to like, and I'm going to go right to my wall of shame when describing this because it kind of has to do with that, and that's Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is on my wall of shame today, which I never thought. I mean, this is just maybe it's.
I don't disagree.
But, I mean, he wasn't reliable at all this game. He dropped passes. He fumbled the ball.
Dude,
I mean,
that was the heart attack at the beginning of the game. They came out so shaky, starting with the Diggs fumble.
Yeah, yes. Yes, that kind of set the tone. And that's why they had to run the ball like 25 times in a row, it felt like. I mean, they did it. They were able to do it, but.
Do you blame him more? I wonder if like there's a little bit of a cognitive bias, like because he's so like trying to pump people up in the sideline, so emotional of a player, then when he screws up that bad or lets us down that bad, you're like, well, you were the problem. I think like on one hand, I like when guys fire him up, but if like you're the one screwing up, it makes you.
I don't think that's why I'm upset, but that I do see that point. I mean, he had 3 receptions on 8 targets today, like 21 yards, like not a good sign. Like he has not proven to be like the wide receiver one we needed him to be like the last several weeks. And you're just like, well, he's just, you know, waiting, right? Like it's just, it's going to come. It's going to come. The Bills are winning. Who cares? And then when the Bills lose, you're just like, where was Diggs? Where was Diggs? Where was this guy that, I mean.
Allen could not have thrown on that long pass, would completely change the game. It could not have been a better placed ball.
Yeah, hit him. At first, I thought maybe it was pass interference or maybe the guy got his hand in on the ball and swatted away. He did not.
No.
No, it was just the guy who was sure-handed, supposedly, he's fumbling him, he's dropping him. I think you're right, though. That first play, which, like, that was almost going to be my sweet sassy molassy play of the game. Like, you know, Kincaid knocking it out of bounds, right? Like, what a heads-up play. Save the Bills' possession. Sure, it got a penalty, but who gives a shit? You're not giving the ball right back to the Chiefs, right? The first possession of the, like, the game's over almost. You give Mahomes the ball at the 25-yard line or the 30-yard line after the first play of the game. And, like, you know, we're looking at it. The game could have gone very, very differently. The Chiefs were missing several players on their team during the game. Injuries to Willie Gay, to another one of their secondary. And I'm just like, well, they're going to attack the secondary. Like, right? Like, Josh is going to find some guys to throw the ball to. And he did. And it wasn't all him because, like you said, there were a couple of drops, like two or three of them. Two on Sherfield, one of Diggs that I think off the top of my head. But Josh looked good running the ball. He just wasn't making the best decisions with the ball in his hands. I think it was the offense. I mean, the defense, for God's sake, the defense couldn't make a stop in the second half, it felt like. Even though they did get that one forced punt, it just felt like Mahomes was doing what he wanted to in the second half compared to the first half. But Pacheco was running the ball well second half. I mean, Bass doing what he's been doing all season. Another reason, if I have to put like my wall of shame for the entire season on somebody or something, I put it on special teams. Special teams almost cost the Bill. It did cost the Bills a game in the end, but it almost cost it on that fake field goal. Like, what? Like, the special teams is terrible on this team. It's just awful. I'm okay with them dismissing Matthew Smiley. Or no, I don't know who their special teams coach is anymore. I have no idea. Who gives a shit? Should be gone. But
Angry Nate makes his bitter. Bitter Angry Nate makes his first appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm bitter and angry over that loss. And I'm kind of, you know, a little bit sad. A little bit sad.
I might take next week off.
You should. Take a mental week to, like, recharge.
Not just not watch the games, I think.
Oh, the AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game. I mean, who do you root for in that one, right? You got to root Ravens, right? It's a foregone conclusion, right?
I guess Lions, like, for the whole thing, right? Just because Erie Lake brothers.
Brothers in despair. If it was the Ravens.
Impotence.
Brothers in erectile dysfunction. That's what I think of when you hear impotence. If that was the Browns, though, I don't think I'd be rooting for the Browns to win Super Bowl.
But before all the Watson stuff, I would say yes.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, for sure.
But they had so much goodwill that they just completely... Right, they would have been like everyone's second favorite team in the league because they talk about impotent. They're the poster child for impotency.
Not Deshaun Watson though, specifically.
No,
no, the exact opposite of impotence. Apparently, plenty of potency. Jeez, that guy. You're right. They sold their soul to the devil by getting him, right, and giving up what they gave up for him. Like, I mean, they put all their eggs in one basket for that guy. And nobody feels bad for them losing out or anything. But Detroit, for sure. So Ravens-Lions would be a great Super Bowl, and root for the Lions. But I'm okay with the Ravens winning. Like, that one doesn't chap my ass as much as, like, the Chiefs winning again, or if the Dolphins had somehow pulled out a miracle and gotten to the Super Bowl. You know, like, divisional or the Chiefs. Or even the Bengals. Like, I don't think I want the Bengals to win. I don't want Joe Burrow to win one before Josh Allen, right? You know what's annoying, Mike, is that...
Let me guess. Well, give me a hint. It's too wide open. It's like the whole universe of things that annoy you.
Rivalries.
Okay. Things that annoy you with respect to rivalries.
Yeah, and in regards to this game.
Hmm.
Positional-specific rivalries.
Something about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. All right, I got it.
That's it. It doesn't feel like a rivalry to me. I mean, it does because Josh has won 3 and Patrick's won 4, but he's won all of the ones in the postseason, the only time it matters.
I feel like that's how Brady Manning was too. Like, Brady owned Manning and then Manning finally broke through.
Agreed, but I wanted him to break through today. I don't want him to wait. I don't want him to wait another year or 2 or 3. I don't want to wait until he's like 33, you know, and you're like, how much time does he have left?
With a pig vertebrae in his neck. Yeah, I don't think Josh will have the longevity of, well, Peyton didn't last that long, but the way he runs, right? His game so much is running. I definitely agree. We got to strike while the iron is hot.
Oh my God. Like, while the iron is hot, while he can run, because I mean, if he doesn't,
well, he can stand.
if Josh
without
Allen doesn't,
a walker, yeah.
If Josh Allen doesn't run for 72 yards and two touchdowns today, the Bills get blown out. If they rely solely on his arm, I mean, they just don't have the weapons. He wasn't good enough today to do that. Like, this isn't a game where it's as close. If Josh Allen isn't using his legs, like, that's why they're in this game. Because he's such a dual threat. Now, I'm not saying that he can't take over games, but against a defense like this, the Chiefs defense, who has a good defensive line, a good secondary, like, how many more years do you have of Josh running around as good as he's running before? Like, two, maybe three, right? How many guys do you see running like that into their 30s? And Josh is, what, 28? Doesn't happen that often. By the way, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of guys that don't move, Von Miller, man, like, were you guys like, wah, like right before the half when he ran down that running back?
Yeah.
And like all his teammates like erupted, like, oh, wow. And then he did nothing else.
Then he did nothing else. You're like, hopefully this is a start of like, oh, well, maybe when we need him the most at the end of the game.
It'll all be worth it.
A big pressure on, no pressure at all by the Bills at all on Patrick Mahomes whatsoever. It felt like, you know. Like, the Bills just could not get to Mahomes. Like, how many times did you see, like, you know, the Chiefs really get, like, pressure on Josh Allen, and he either sidesteps or he makes a play, rushes out of the pocket, or rushes in the middle of the pocket? Mahomes didn't even have to do that today. He just kind of sat back there, it felt like. Yeah, watch Von. Like, man, Von, he had a good end of the game last week. He made that play at the end of the first half, like you said, like, tackle for loss. Ended up being negated for a penalty, but, like, it was well-intentioned. He was there. It would have counted. And then you're like, okay, good, because we could use him today. And nothing. Yeah. No. By the way, real quick, this episode, this is Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I'm your host, Nate. I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike, and we've been discussing the Buffalo Bills' loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, 27-24, in Orchard Park. Just, you know, heartbreaking loss. We're going over all the factors that went into it, things that if things had changed, things that if they had changed, you know, maybe the outcome would have been a little bit different. This episode is brought to you by the Twin Spires Sportsbook at DeLago, at the DeLago Resort and Casino in Waterloo, New York. I put several bets in, several, you know, parlays in, things, and I didn't have Josh Allen going 186 yards passing. That wasn't what I thought would happen today. I didn't think that was going to be the issue. So, John, we've been talking a lot about, you know, Tyler Bass, you know, things that caused, like, I already put Stephon Diggs on my wall of shame. You know, there were so many good plays. We haven't gotten to Sweet Sassy Malassi plays of the game. But just real quick, you know, where's your head at? How are you doing? Where do you place the blame of this loss?
Where do I even start? I think two of the bigger things that stuck out in my mind were a lot of the calls, which I hate to use that. I don't think I've used that too much this year. I use it in the Philly game. But the other thing, like, I don't, the Bass thing, it's funny because when they missed the third and nine and went to fourth down, I'm like, well, Bass isn't going to make this. I already knew that he wasn't going to make it. So I was like, let's just go for it. But even if he did make it, the Chiefs are just going to come and score anyway. So I don't think that was like the biggest issue or anything like that. The other thing that stuck out my mind was anytime that Josh threw a deep, it was always right on the money and it was always dropped. Like Sherfield or Diggs or whoever. And that's happened other times this year too, not just this game. But like those are, you were just talking about 186 yards. Two of those plays right there. I mean, those are huge chunks of yardage. Allen was right on the money and they're just dropped.
Yeah, Sherfield dropped two. Diggs dropped one. They didn't do him any favors for sure. I mean, there was that misfire in the end zone with Khalil Shakir that I thought was a poor pass. And we were mentioning earlier, John, that like on that drive for third and nine, like you said, like even if they get that field goal and it's 27-27, I mean, the Chiefs have like a minute 49 left.
You don't feel good about it. Yeah.
No, not at all. Not at all. Even though, you know, it's to force what do they have to go from the 30 to what, the 40? So they have to go a matter of 30 yards in a minute and a half when they have like fourth down on their side, right? Because they're probably not going to turn the ball. They're probably not going to punt the ball, right? So, yeah, I wish they were playing in that last series for the first down as opposed to playing for the touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that was partly Josh. I think that was partly Josh feeling he needed to win the ball, win the game.
He had Shakir there. I think what happened was, I forget the Chiefs player, but he ran the Bills offensive lineman into Allen as he was throwing it.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of threw it off.
True. I forgot about that. Yep.
I mean, I get that Diggs was open for the easy pass, but Shakir was also wide open. So why not go for him since he's in the end zone?
So that one play, man, if I was a Chiefs podcaster, I'd say that was a sweet sassy molassy player, the Gettysburg of the game or whatever you want to call it. As small and as insignificant as it seemed, maybe it didn't seem insignificant at the moment, but it wasn't the drive ending play. Him pushing Deion Dawkins back into Josh Allen could have cost the Bills the game. On that one specific play, but there's a lot of other plays. Luckily, like a lot of these plays that hurt the Bills and you thought might, you know, really come back to bite them didn't end up doing that. Like I'm thinking of the James Cook dropped touchdown pass. Like then Khalil Shakir saved him on, you know, the following play to get a first down. And then they run it in for a touchdown, right? Like, and then it was, you know, the fake field or the fake punt where DeMar Hamlin gets stuffed, you know, near the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, Jordan Poyer has an amazing, you know, punch out, right? Like right before Mecole Hardman gets to the end zone and then ends up becoming the Bills ball because it was like the Bills were saved so many times, but they kept making mistakes and mistakes and mistakes, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about that fake punt. So before they punted, I wanted them to go for it, obviously, but so Sam Martin punted like twice, right? So obviously, he didn't look like his usual self. He's still hampered by the injury. So why are they still punting at all anyway?
Yeah.
But I digress. It's they're in the punt formation, and they see that the Chiefs have 10 men on the field, and they have 8 blockers against 6 guys to tackle. So why not give it a shot then? I get that. Especially since if Martin punts it for a net of 35 and then they get 2 plays and they're right back to where they were anyway. So what's the difference? So I don't disagree with the call.
I love the aggressiveness of it, right? Like there's nothing that the odds were in their favor, but this special team sucks. The special teams on this team is terrible. That's the problem. It costs them the game at the end of the game with the missed field goal. And this is nothing new. It's Bass. It's the punting game. It's the return game. Like, what was the best play? The Deontay Hardy return against the Dolphins was the only good play I can remember all season from the special teams. Besides, you know, I can't remember what game it is where Sam Martin had like really 6 punts inside the 20, right? Like, that was a good game punting wise, right? Like, good. Okay.
No,
good.
Yeah, I agree. In general, the coverage units haven't been that good either. So,
no, the coverage units have been garbage, especially for a team not only that, I mean, the Bills put a lot of money, it feels like, and draft picks into special teamers to get what it feels like a very bad return on investment. We're like, oh, you know, why'd you draft that guy in the 5th round? Like, that seems like there were some wide receivers. Oh, well, you know, we figured he could be a good special teamer, you know, maybe in the future contribute. It's like, well, okay, so you're drafting guys for special teams now. So, okay, that's fine. As long as our special teams is good, I guess. Wall of shame. Let's start with the wall of shame in the loss. I gave it to Diggs. Mike, are you still with that one, or would you give it to McDermott or anyone else? Sherfield, even? I mean, Sherfield, I feel like...
I'd go Diggs. He's a wide receiver one. We needed him to make plays, and he didn't.
John, what about you?
It's both. I mean, they can't... They don't have any receivers that can catch the long ball. Maybe Davis would have been the factor of this game. Maybe that would have done it.
Do you think... when Trent Sherfield kept getting trotted on the field, in my mind, I was thinking, why isn't Dalton Kincaid on every snap then? Because he should be getting more snaps than Sherfield. Like, I mean, I get that you can run different plays with Sherfield as opposed to Kincaid, but I don't think any of us would think that if you're relying on someone to catch the ball consistently, whether it's deep, short, middle of the field, who would you rather have in on those plays? I feel like it should be Dalton Kincaid all day, every day, right? Like, why would Sherfield be getting that many? I don't know.
There was at least one third down play where I noticed that Kincaid, you know, trotted off the field for the other personnel bag. Like, what are you guys doing?
Why is he ever off the field? If there are three receivers on the field, he's got to be one of those three. It should be Shakir, Diggs, and Kincaid every time. And then if you bring in Knox, okay, that's fine, Knox. I trust Knox at this point over Sherfield, even though Sherfield did have that amazing touchdown catch against the Steelers last week. So I'll put in special teams as a... that's how bad Matt Hawk is, by the way. The fact that they'd rather put in a hobbled Sam Martin than Matt Hawk, right?
It's funny. I was just texting somebody that, like, I was complaining about, like, well, Martin's obviously still hampered by his injury, and he's terrible in this game, so why would they keep punting? And he's like, oh, didn't they have a backup guy? I'm like, well, yeah, but he's terrible, so it wouldn't have made any difference.
They picked the worst backup, like the guy that we cut because he wasn't any good, because he would kick like Sam Martin did today, except he wasn't injured.
Look, couldn't they bring back the punt god and just have him practice this week and see how he did? Really?
I mean, I don't...
He has experience holding for the Bills, a little bit of familiarity. At least give him a shot.
I mean, I don't hate the idea, but...
I'm not saying that's why the Bills lost is punting, but like... As an aside, why not?
Why you can't have that media circus when you're going up for the Chiefs in the division round. He's no NFL experience.
Well, he had the preseason that 1 year.
So he goes from like not being on a team for a year and a half to going to the Bills.
There's no media circus. Give him a tryout for like this week. Come practice with him. See what he does. The media circus is Taylor Swift. That's the media circus. Nobody's going to care about the guy who got acquitted of all these charges, or the charges were dropped, or whatever.
That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
The media
It's better than Matt Hawk.
Yeah, I think we're grasping. There's got to be some. I mean, Brian Moorman at this point, bring him out of retirement. He's got to be, what, like 46? I guarantee.
But this shouldn't be a huge discussion, because the punter is an aside. There's like way other. There's other things. The referees.
I mean, the referees were bad, but I didn't think they were Philadelphia Eagles bad. I mean, they weren't. I didn't feel like they changed the game. Like, if that fumble by Mecole Hardman had not been called, and
that would have been the big one. Yeah,
that would have been like, sure. Okay, this game's fixed, right? Like, this is
it's fixed anyway. They want to show as much Taylor Swift as possible every game. So, the Chiefs are definitely going to the Super Bowl.
The Chiefs are absolutely going to the Super Bowl, right? Like, you get a whole section of Swifties. And people that have, I mean, I'm sure a lot of them watch the Super Bowl, but you get a section that aren't really necessarily big Super Bowl fans or football fans. Like, that's, oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? The NFL would love that. That is the biggest celebrity to be on an NFL, to be shown in an NFL game since what? I don't know why. Bradley Cooper, right? For the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I can't think of a bigger.
I did find it annoying that they just kept cutting to Taylor Swift and Jason Kelce like the entire game. I just wanted to win because of that.
To stop that. Yeah. It was interesting. I saw a tweet. So Taylor Swift fans are crazy, right? Like, I don't trash Taylor Swift. I mean, she's very talented. Would I be happy to not see her, you know, her face all the time? Sure. Absolutely. I think we all would. But I saw some like videos of, you know, people in the parking lot burning pictures of Taylor Swift, like at the tailgate. Right. And I thought it was funny. It's just like, whatever. And then I saw like Taylor Swift fans be like, who are, we need to find these people. We need to dox them. And it's just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Jeez, calm the F down. Holy crap. Like, you want to give these people's like addresses and locations around because they burned a picture of Taylor Swift. Like, really? I'm like, this is a crazy, crazy cult following. Like, I follow thousands of Bills fans on Twitter. I've never once seen anyone say we need to dox this person. Like, ever. I'm getting that right, right? Dox means like to give away their location so people can like trash your house or something, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mike, you're always worried about us doxing you, giving away your employer or location or whatever.
I'm worried about you cyber squatting me.
Cyber squatting you or swatting?
Well, swatting, you? Swatting.
Cyber squatting on you? I would never.
I definitely heard squatting when he's.
All right, maybe I shouldn't be asking Mike. That's what they're probably hoping for. Just all of a sudden, kids playing the kid that burned that Taylor Swift thing out in a parking lot in like a freaking somebody's backyard somewhere in Orchard Park ends up getting like swatted because he did something so stupid and so insignificant, right? Anyway, that's just that person had like 30 followers, so they weren't. But just the fact that someone said that, I was just like, wow, interesting.
But like, why would anyone care? I don't understand.
Well, because that's they're Swifties, Mike. Like, that's who
but the person burning the picture would be like, hey, my name is John Smith. I live at Orchard Park.
Yeah, but doxing usually involves like people researching, like find this person's face, find out where they work, find out what their employer is, you know, and like report them or something, right? Like doxing, canceling, all that stuff. Anyway, I'm getting into the weeds. Let's do stats of the game real quick. Stats of the game brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at DeLago. We have Patrick Mahomes. Let's start off with Josh Allen and the Bills. Josh Allen, 26 for 39. 186 yards, one touchdown, zero interception. Leading rusher was also Josh Allen, 12 carries for 72 yards.
Two touchdowns, excuse me. Ugh.
Yawning. No one cares. No one cares after a loss. James Cook, Captain Cook, 18 carries for 61 yards. I thought he looked good tonight. Captain Cook, minus another potential drop.
We should cyber squat on something. I don't know what.
Cyber squat.
That's like we come up with the idea to grab the website before somebody else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if we wanted Josh Allen for president in 2028, we would right now go get the we'd go to GoDaddy.com and be like, Josh Allen 2028.com and buy it for $6.99. And then if he wanted to buy it from us, we'd be like, $50,000.
We talked about doing that for the Washington Commanders before they became the Commanders. They're just the Washington football team. Like, let's take all those Twitter accounts. Let's take all those, you know, social media accounts and just sit on them. And then we'll, you know.
Do you think they're going to rebrand again? They want to distance themselves from Dan Snyder. They might just change the name again.
Yeah, true. All right, we'll talk about that in the offseason. That'll be offseason. Cyber squatting, Mike, when you first saw it, that's a better explanation than what I was going to come up with for cyber squatting. I was thinking like in the metaverse, like you go into somebody's like virtual reality house, and then when they're not there, they're like, because they're at work and they can't be like in the metaverse, like you just go in there and you just like take over their house. And you're just like, wow, I'm squatting, right? Like cyber squatting. This is my place now. Like you don't own it. Like I have squatting rights. Like, can't kick me out.
I thought you were going to say like when you kill somebody in an online game and then you go over to their dead body and like squat on their face.
I've never done that. Could you even do that? I didn't even know. Squat on their face. Squatting would make
down,
no sense,
right? Like in Call of Duty or Fortnite.
It's squatting down for what purpose, though? Like, why would I squat over them? Unless I was looking to take a dump on them, right? Like, why would I? I like the metaverse. Isn't it called what, Mike?
Isn't it called like teabagging?
I was just gonna say the same thing.
Oh yeah, was I teabag? Okay, yes. Okay, all right. I see what you're saying. Dude, that guy cyber squatted me all over the other day in the metaverse. It was insane. I couldn't get out of it. I called the cops. Didn't do anything. Good. It feels good to laugh. Feels good to laugh after that shitty game.
So do you think there's actual houses in the metaverse and people can take them over?
I don't know. Is there housing? I thought isn't there like real estate and people were buying houses for thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars or damn. What? Are they just buying real estate in the metaverse? You know so much more about this than me. Could I buy the Bills Stadium in the metaverse? I'd have to build it and then create it? Because the Bills are going to be playing, if the metaverse actually happens, then they're going to be playing virtual reality games, right? Like so. Hmm. It's going to look like those Toy Story games on Disney Plus, except like, you know, I'll own the stadium they'll be playing in.
Cyber squatting and then cyber swatting is when you call the police on someone. Like if we were to call the police on John,
So we're all watching him right now on this, like, you know, this podcast call, and all of a sudden we see, like, we're all talking and laughing, and then John, out of John's microphone, if he's not muted like he is now, out of John's microphone, we hear, "Put your hands in the fucking air!
Get on the ground!
Get on the fucking ground! Get on the ground!" And John's just like, "What the?"
Yeah, I'm sure my kids won't wake up and be traumatized by that.
No. Well, we're not saying we should do it, but they're saying that's what we... It wouldn't be worth it, because I think, like, the penalty for cyber swatting is what? It's jail, right? Like, I don't know if that's an actual federal law, but...
Well, we do it anonymously.
40 to life.
You're not going to call up and be like, "Hello, this is Nate."
They can trace the call.
Like, "This is Mike." How do kids that, like, call the, like, what do they say? Like, because this was, even the kids that do the cyber swatting, like, this isn't their first time doing it. Because the first time you'd fumble over it so many times, like, "Oh, I need a SWAT team." And they're like,
I feel like you'd type up a script, wouldn't you?
Like, you would have to do it several times to get good at it, right? Like, the first time you call, it'd be like, "We need a SWAT team at this number." And they'd be like, "What's your emergency?" "I'm being held," you know, like. You'd sound like such an idiot, and you're a child doing it. You know, like, people would be less likely to believe you because you're, or maybe they'd feel even more likely to believe because you're a child. So they'd be like, "Well, we don't want to be the ones that, like, nah, this isn't real." It's a child being held captive. This one's probably not that big of a deal.
Remember when you could order a pizza and it'd be delivered in 30 minutes or less, or your money back?
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
Those were the days. Now it's like an hour, and they fuck it up still.
It's an hour. It's $50 for one pizza.
It is a lot more expensive.
A lot more expensive. And then, like, they also didn't have GPS when we were kids either. So, like...
The GPS makes it worse. Like, they take them, like, a roundabout way.
Oh, really?
Like, "Oh, I didn't know you lived there. It told me to get out over here and walk across this other neighborhood."
So sometimes technology is bad. Is that what you're saying, John? I agree.
Well, I mean, even I told Michael Scott to turn into a lake that one time, right?
Yes, it did. Yeah.
He just followed it blindly. All right. Well, it's just...
Ty Johnson was 7 carries for 40 yards. Leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills. Who wants to guess what the leading receiver is for the... Oh, wait. I brought it up on the screen share. Never mind. I was going to do... Didn't do a pop quiz for you guys, but I haven't shared the... I shared my screen. So
you talking yards or reception?
Jeez. I was going to go yards, but Dalton Kincaid, look good.
Shakir's got to be the player of the game, though, right? Like, if you had to pick one.
Yeah, I was going to give... Yeah, let's do that real quick, because... Wait, I'll let me do this real quick. Dalton Kincaid, 5 receptions on 5 targets for 45 yards. Khalil Shakir, 7 receptions on 9 targets for 44 yards. And then Latavius Murray was the third leading receiver. 3 receptions on 4 targets for 27 yards. Khalil Shakir had that one amazing touchdown. John, you're... Your Wall of Fame nominee?
Shakir,
right? I can't think of... I honestly can't think of somebody better on offense or defense than Khalil Shakir. Mike?
Kincaid, 5 of 5. Whereas Shakir is 9 of 7. Kincaid also, the opening drive saved Diggs' fumble. And then later when Allen fumbled, it was Kincaid that broke it up from... The Chiefs with maybe a scoop and score. I don't know. But, and then Spencer Brown allowed Spencer Brown to jump on the ball, saved 2 possessions, and caught every ball thrown his way. It's not his fault he didn't have 10 receptions.
I can't argue with that, especially with the 2 things that aren't noted in the statistics. I do want to say, though, the 9 of 7 thing, like, targets versus receptions isn't always means drops, right? Like, the one touchdown pass at the end that wasn't there, it wasn't because Shakir dropped it, it's because Allen got hit, and then I'm not really sure on the other missed target, but no, good points on Kincaid.
Good points, Mike and John. Way to call Mike out. That wasn't Khalil Shakir's fault. The Josh Allen guy.
I never said it was his fault.
No.
You're like, "Oh, 5 of 5, 100%. Oh, Shakir's only 9 of 7. And then you went on with the rest of it. The rest of it was great. I only took issue with that first part.
Well, Shakir should have come back for the ball.
It wasn't anywhere near him.
He should have dove 10 yards. No, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind also, just like John did. I'm flip-flopping back to Kincaid for everything that Mike said.
No, I'm good not argument. Flip-flopping. I'm saying that's a good point to pick Kincaid, but I'm still sticking with Shakir.
If Shakir didn't have like two amazing catches, one to bail out James Cook's drop, and then the other one to bail out Josh Allen's delay of game. Remember, it was like third and goal, and then he gets a, or it was third and something.
He had other great like third down, first down plays during the game too, especially even on the last drive. Like they're both great. I don't want to argue against Kincaid, but I'm sticking with Shakir.
1A, 1B. How's that? 1A, 1B. Nobody on defense. I can't really think of anyone that deserved on defense. Can we also say, like, just in general, for this season, this postseason, one of the biggest wall of shame, now I gave it to the special teams, you know, along with, you know, like, for this postseason and for the season, I'd probably give the wall of shame to the special teams, but I think Josh Allen should have thrown the ball more to Dalton Kincaid. I think that would have been a huge key to this game. I think they would have done a lot better. It's just a shame that they injuries. That's what I was going to say. Sorry, I lost my train of thought and I just came up with something different. But injuries, I would say injuries is my wall of shame for this season. Just injury after injury. Rasul Douglas didn't look 100%. Tyrell Dodson wasn't 100%. We lost Terrell Bernard. Like, Bills just injury after injury of important players. We mentioned Gabe Davis. Like, Gabe Davis would have been nice to have during this game. Not that we don't like Khalil Shakir, but just he's the chief killer, right? Like, he just had 4 touchdowns a few years ago. Would have kept Trent Sherfield off the field.
Absolutely. I had a bad feeling coming into this game just because they're at the point in the season in the playoffs where they're playing these terrific teams. And at some point, those injuries are going to catch up with you. And they suffered more during the Pittsburgh game that they already had. Imagine like Trey White and Milano being healthy all year. Not to mention all these other guys that got hurt. It's just really unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. The injuries were...
I mean, yeah, but 100% with linebackers, cornerbacks. But Chiefs dealt with some injuries, right? It seemed like their whole game plan was going to be focused on Gay spying Allen. And that went out the window after the first series. And just... it just seems like with how much the present-day quarterback accounts for your offense, like if Allen's in there, it's got to be like one of our few opportunities to win the whole thing, right? Like with Cincinnati and Burrow going down, Burrow goes down, like their season's over. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I mean, yeah, I agree. Bill's always in it with Josh Allen at the helms. I mean, you saw how important Patrick Mahomes is. Isaiah Pacheco had a good game, but I mean, the Bills live and die with Allen. Right, like he has a great game. The Bills have a great game. He has a really good game, like tonight. I think he had a good game. I wouldn't say it was. I guess I shouldn't say really, really good. It was a good game. I thought he did everything he could to win the game for the Bills, but in some key moments, the fumble, like you mentioned, some of the passes, some of the three and outs, a couple of them. It was just like, man, like of course, some of them was the second half adjustments by the Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense being able to stop the Bills run. You know, the Josh Allen, I remember on one possession, they tried to run the ball and it was a 4-yard loss for James Cook. Now all of a sudden you're starting at 2nd and 14. Like, that's a big deal. And Josh wasn't able to overcome all those. And he would try to run. There were a couple of hits on Allen. I will say that should have been flagged, and that's not me being soft. It's like they hit him after they, and it wasn't like they let up. After they knew he was sliding, they still hit him. And it's like, whatever. I don't think officiating was the main reason the Bills lost today or even like a huge factor. I wasn't happy with it, but it could have been so much worse, in my opinion.
But like, especially at the end of the season, like the last 7 games, if you said, hey, the Bills will be in the playoffs in the divisional round 2 minutes to go, 1st and 10 from the, I don't know, 30. You would have taken it all day. Like, if they score a touchdown, they'll win the game. As long as it's not a strike immediately and then you give the ball back to Mahomes. But, like, that whole last drive, they were doing everything perfectly. And then they just went for it all for some insane reason. It was, like, there for the taking. That's what's tough to swallow, I guess.
Yeah. I think you put it perfectly, Mike. I think that when it comes down to that, I mean, Bass is... excuse me, missed field goal aside, which none of us expected, like you said, with that much time left for Patrick Mahomes. Everything was going well to the 2-minute warning, and then...
Keep the clock moving, right?
Clock moving. Exactly. Keep the clock moving. Throw, if it's, you know, 1st and 10, throw a few 5 or 6-yard passes, right? Like, just keep the clock moving, keep moving the chains, You have two timeouts. You have plenty of time. Like,
and the, it just, the moment was too big for him.
Yeah.
Do
you put that on Allen, though, or is it Joe Brady? I mean, it felt like it was Allen. It felt like Allen was going for it.
I thought great calls, like Diggs with the crossing route underneath. That was perfect.
He had Shakir wide open in the end zone for a touchdown, and when he let go of the ball, he got pushed into. It's not his fault. It was a good defensive play. He pushes our offensive lineman into Josh Allen.
He should have thrown it a half a second earlier to Diggs, who was streaking across right in front of him, though, instead of waiting for
another 40 seconds off the clock to not give it back to Mahomes. I feel if the Bills scored with 2 minutes left, even on that pass into the end zone, like, I don't disagree with you. Like, I guess I would take the guaranteed touchdown, but Mahomes is going to come back and score. Like, we've seen it time and time and time again. The Bills had to have the last possession, and they had to go ahead.
I'm
taking the touchdown.
But it didn't happen. I agree with you. If they score,
I'm not like saying like, oh, Josh Allen was too big. The moment was too big for him because of that pass. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, I think the moment was just he was trying to go for it all.
I'll give you one. When he fumbled the ball on that one running play on third down, where, you know, there was a scuffle for the ball and the Bills ended up with it. That moment might have been too big for him, where we started to play hero ball a little bit. I'll give you that, but I'm not going to give you that pass to Shakir.
Well, there's a pass in the corner of the end zone right before that or right after that. That was a terrible pass. The guy wasn't open. And
yeah, Mahomes had tons of terrible passes. Same thing. You can't like discredit Allen and like praise Mahomes for everything else when he also had bad passes on other drives earlier.
He always ends up winning. So I think it is a criticism.
It's a team sport. Allen and Mahomes were two of the best players in the field today, right? And then who's next best? Kelsey?
I think Mike's just saying that, not that Josh Allen didn't have a good game overall, but just...
You know, I don't think Josh Allen has enough help.
And you could be right with that, too.
Both offense and defense, but I'm not going to blame the defense because, you know, they got Band-Aids and duct tape all over them.
I mean, to hold the that's funny.
You
got A.J. Klein going out. Who are you going to put in, Medicavich?
I didn't want to give the ball back to the Chiefs with the chance to win the game. I really liked how the Bills were up
that was
until
happen
that
no matter what. It was going to be back and forth.
No, it wasn't. Game. The Bills could have ended the game with that last drive, if they played it smarter.
It's a really hard thing to do, to let the time run out and score a touchdown all at the same time.
No, they just need to get another first down. They need to get another first down.
You got to throw the crossing route to Diggs and then get him to the first down marker. Go down, go down, go down, and then like run it. Oh, wait, don't get a touchdown yet, because then the Chiefs are going to start calling timeouts. Like, and then it's going to come to like fourth and one. I don't know. That's way too difficult. Just score a touchdown.
It's how they did that entire drive. If it's me, I'm not giving the ball back to the... At the very worst, it's best to tie the game as the clock expires.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills have done this before. This team, more than any other team, knows what the Chiefs can do with limited amount of time.
That would have been the way for the NFL to script it even better than they already did. Have it go into overtime because the whatever happened 3 years ago, they changed the rule and now have it work against the Bills this time and then lose in overtime because Mahomes gets the chance after Allen wins the toss. That would have been even better for the NFL. I don't know why they didn't script it that way.
Yeah, geez. I'm trying to think. Now you got me thinking about what would have been a better script than that. Is there even one?
I mean, they just wanted the Chiefs to win, but... That would have been even better for the NFL to be like, oh, they had the rule changed because of this, but oh, the Chiefs won anyway. It would have been perfect for them.
I keep thinking about that meme, that Scarface meme, where it's just like a montage picture of like Scarface and that other guy on the phone, and like there's just printing money in the background. That's what I think of, like Roger Goodell seeing all the Swifties watching the AFC Championship game with the Chiefs and the Ravens, like dun 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 dun. Just printing money, man. Just printing money. Yeah, I can't think of a better script than that, John. Isaiah Pacheco, leading rusher for the Chiefs. 15 carries, 97 yards, one touchdown. Pacheco had a great game Travis Kelce was the leading receiver for the Chiefs, 5 receptions on 6 targets for 75 yards, 2 touchdowns. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, 2 receptions on 4 targets for 62 yards. Dude, the guy that can't catch a ball had that one amazing grab over his shoulder, one-handed, against the Buffalo Bills. And it's just like, ah. Taron Johnson had like almost perfect coverage on Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and it didn't matter. It was like the perfect ball and catch, and it's just what the Bills weren't able to do all game. It felt like just like a long pass like that. They just couldn't seem to get one. If there's anything that this season too, like mentioning like Wall of Shame, it's got to be Allen's long ball. And it's not necessarily Allen's problem throwing an accurate long ball necessarily. It's got to do with the players not being good enough to catch the freaking things. You know, it's like the Bills need to upgrade their wide receiver core again this offseason. They made good steps in that direction, but they need to take another leap in that direction, in my opinion.
I agree.
I mean, we're going to talk about on this podcast in the future weeks. Maybe we take a week off or something. I don't know. This has been a long season. This has been a long, free agency, draft, you know, what do we do? OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason, regular season for us. We might take a week off. We'll see. But we're going to talk about Bill's needs. And I'm probably going to bang the drum again, just like we did last year, about, you know, wide receiver, receiving targets, you know, for Josh Allen this season that we need for him. So,
hey, yeah. Only 95 days until the NFL draft.
Stop, John. How many days until the regular season starts?
I don't know.
Yeah.
More than that. Free agency is less than that, though. So, but they're not going to be able to get anybody in free agency because they're going to be, well, I don't know about their salary cap right now.
It doesn't look good. Not great.
Not ideal.
Not ideal. Not great, Bob. Those were stats of the game brought to you by the Twin Spires Sportsbook at DeLago. Do you guys have any hot takes before we get to some hot takes from Twitter?
No. Other than no.
So if you're not following us, please do. We're at Circling the Way at CTW Pod, Circling the Wagons Podcast on social media. After every game, I say, what's your hot take for this win or loss? CPL writes, we have a defensive head coach that gives up big play on D. We have a kicker with the yips in the playoffs. Make changes. So we haven't talked about this at all. I don't necessarily put this game on McDermott, and I don't think he should be fired for this loss. And the defense, like we mentioned, I mean, you're going in with like second and third stringers. Guys are being called off the street that are doing pretty damn good for the starters that they're replacing and the second stringers they're replacing. Like, I don't have a whole lot to say for Sean McDermott. Were there a couple of questionable calls and plays? Sure, absolutely. But then he had some good challenges. I thought he did pretty good overall, maybe slightly conservative at sometimes, but then he was uber aggressive at other times. I don't put any of this on Sean McDermott. I don't want him to be fired at the end of the season. He's not going to be, first of all, but I don't want him to be. I think he's close. And I think that we need a full offseason with Joe Brady unless he gets a head coaching gig all of a sudden. Guy just barely became an offensive coordinator. He's getting head coaching interviews, which is insane. But I want to give him hopefully an offseason, if he doesn't get the head coaching gig, to actually like put together his playbook. Take what he's learned and give Josh Allen a playbook that's just going to stun the league. And, you know, it's going to be one where it's going to be things that he wants, because we are starting to see a lot of his, you know, imagination in the last few weeks. And I'm excited to see what more we could get from him. We have a run game. This is the first time we've had a run game since before Dable, since Gailey. I don't know. We have a run game for once. It's LeSean McCoy. And it feels good.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think they said that since he took over, the Bills have been number one in rushing in the league. And obviously they were on a huge winning streak. I hope that he doesn't leave for a head coaching job after being interim coach for half a season, or offensive coordinator for half a season. That would be insane. I don't even want to use the word interim. Do you think that they're even going to consider other guys if they can just retain him?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe they do their due diligence and they say that they do, but I think that there's 0% chance that they hire anyone else. So the Falcons are the ones that interviewed. They already did interview Joe Brady. So that already happened. But if he doesn't become the Falcons head coach, I can't see them. I mean, there was a total 180 from you know, the team, I shouldn't say total, but it felt so much better. And statistically, it was better.
Yeah, it's been a lot better. I would like to see him with like a redone playbook to his liking, not just adding wrinkles along the way next year. Did you guys see Ken Dorsey was interviewed by Cleveland, I think, for the coordinator spot?
No, I didn't. That would be incredible. That would be. I mean, I don't wish any ill will toward Ken Dorsey, right? Like, I think we're all in agreement.
No, he should. I feel like he should get a job somewhere, but I just thought that was interesting.
For sure. Interesting. And I hope he does get an opportunity, if not a quarterback coach or an offensive coordinator gig or something, because I mean, the guy has talent. It just wasn't the right fit here. And even to this day, like I was listening to a Deion Dawkins interview with Eric Wood, and he was just like, listen, nothing against Ken Dorsey. He's like, we love Ken Dorsey. We all felt bad when he got let go because we felt responsible for what happened. And if you didn't like Ken Dorsey, you wouldn't go out of your way to say something like that. Like, so I think that they really did genuinely like him, and it just didn't work out. There wasn't necessarily the right fit, and that's okay. It doesn't make him a bad person or, you know, a bad coordinator in general. It just wasn't the right fit, right? That's all. So this kind of goes into what with the other tweeter, CPL, said about McDermott. Charlie Brown is a Bills fan, writes, the fire McDermott crowd needs to fuck right off. He only had four linebackers available, injuries all over the place, and he won six consecutive must-win games. McDermott is the reason the team got this far. I can't disagree with any of that. I love the way it's put, puts things into perspective. Like you said, only four linebackers available. One of those guys that was about to go to Key West before the Bills called him up, and he ended up starting. Maybe if we had gotten to the next game, maybe we see Terrell Bernard, but I guess we'll never know. It's like last year. Remember Micah Hyde was supposed to come back if the Bills made the AFC Championship game? He never came back. Jack Stern writes, last two downs, Josh took big shots at the end zone rather than getting the first down. Not smart football at all. Mike, going with your point of view right there. Tim Donovan writes, 2 years in a row, you lose a home divisional playoff game. Something has to change. Yeah, last year, would you guys agree that last year felt worse than this season, that loss? If that one just felt like, maybe it didn't feel worse because this one felt more winnable. But last year, it felt like they didn't even try. Like they were just completely outcoached, outplayed. Both sides of the ball, coaching wise, like that last game of the season was just like, what the hell happened against the Bengals? Like, who is this team? Like, I thought you guys were good. You were 13-3. And then this season, it's just like, well, the mistakes caught up and the injuries did.
They both felt really bad for different reasons. I mean, in the end, it's the same reason, right? They didn't advance. Like, that's the biggest thing. But I don't want to say different excuses, just different ways to lose, I suppose. Last year, they won a lot of close games down the stretch, but was very one-dimensional in offense. Allen to Diggs. This year, they're more diversified, but the injuries on defense and special teams and I don't know.
Too much to overcome.
You're not like receivers dropping passes, and that's happened throughout the year, not just this game. It's a lot. So different reasons, same result, same pain.
So I think I'll feel bad depending. I'm going to say my answer is depending on how next week goes. It depends on how bad I'll feel, because if the Chiefs somehow beat the Ravens in the AFC Championship game, I didn't necessarily see the Bills beating the Ravens. I think it would have been a good game, and I really wanted to see how well the Bills would stack up against the Ravens. But with the injuries and everything else going on, I don't necessarily think they would have won. But if the Chiefs end up pulling it out and the Bills were this close to beating the Chiefs, how will you not have that thought going into the Super Bowl that if the Chiefs make it, you'll be like, this should have been the Bills in there, right? Like that, I think that'll make this loss hurt that much more, in my opinion, the way I'll see it.
Well, plus if they pulled it out, like maybe Bernard could have played next week and I don't know where Davis was. I mean, you never know. Taylor Rapp, I don't know. Brentford, like those guys are all out.
Any of those guys would have been helpful. Yeah. Tonight, even we lost so many, and Douglas looked hobbled today.
Like, yeah, he looked out there. Slow. Yeah, he was not 100%.
So not only were they missing a lot of starters, some of their starters that were in there were banged up, like to the point where maybe they wouldn't have played if they didn't have to. Andrew Freeman says, for the record, this is what I've said about McDermott. I think he's an above average to good coach, but his defense has now gotten out coached in the playoffs 4 straight years. Something has got to change there.
That's not, I don't think that's fair this year.
No, I think this year he had an excuse. The whole time he's had an excuse. I think the whole time he's done, John, I feel like you've been saying this as much as me, if not more. Like, the fact that the defense has been playing as well as it has, considering all the injuries, like, he almost deserves to be coach of the year, considering all those things, as opposed to people are like, he's got to be fired. I like, he's putting together a makeshift crew.
Yeah, and that was one of my fears coming into this game, was they had those couple more injuries in the Pittsburgh game that may have broke the camel's back, and I think it kind of did a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You can only do so much. You're calling guys out from, like, going on vacation, who is not on the team anymore, and like, oh, you want to play for us?
You've been working out this whole time, right? Like, I hope.
You know the playbook. You've been on our team before. Come on back.
Could you imagine that about to be like just people like us just being on vacation and all of a sudden getting called back in or something, or thinking you're retired, you know, like you're in your 30s, you're retired, or at least like for now you are. And then all of a sudden you get a call when you're loading up the vehicle, like about to go somewhere warm. So it's like, hey, why don't you come back to work for a few weeks? Oh, okay.
You might need to do some shoveling first, but yeah.
Yeah, you might need to. Yeah. Don't worry. There's $20 an hour. Feed the Pit at Saxa Dave says, injuries were too much to overcome, played right into Kansas City's strengths. The one unit that was healthy, the D-line, didn't step up. When the defense finally got some stops, the offense stalled. I wouldn't shed a tear if Bass didn't make the roster next year. What's going on there? Now, I love that Dave brought up several different points. The injuries, which we've mentioned before, the D-line not stepping up when it needed to, and then when it didn't step up, or when it finally did step up and they finally did get stops and caused a few punts, the offense just crapped out too. Like, they couldn't continue on their path of, you know, there was at least one or two three and outs there by the Bills offense. It's just like, oh, really? Like, really? I think one might have even happened after the Bills got the ball back when Mecole Hardman fumbled the ball into the end zone. The Bills got the ball at the 20 or something, right? I think they went a 3-and-out after that. You thought that could have been a momentum shifter.
What are your guys' thoughts on, like, 2-3 years ago when the Bills were losing to the Chiefs in the playoffs, and their answer was to get all these, you know, draft great pass rushers, bring in Von Miller, and that didn't seem to do anything this time around. And that was the one healthy part of the defense.
Yes. That's John, that's a really good question / point, is that the whole reason they drafted two defensive ends in the first and second round, and they've brought in Von Miller and they did all these things, was for this specific game and opponent. And the Chiefs don't have really good tackles. Like, you could say that, you could argue that that's one of their weak spots on the offensive line. And did Von Miller or Greg Rousseau or AJ Epenesa or Leonard Floyd make an impact today?
I mean, even if you gave Miller a pass, like, because it took Trey White extra time to fully come back from his injury. And it was, I was still sick that he got injured again once he was 100% back. But like those other guys who had done well earlier in the year, like, where were they?
Yeah, when they needed them the most. Yeah. So I think Dave brings up some good points. John, you brought up an excellent point. The team was supposed to be built for this game specifically. It almost felt like they were so myopic on the Chiefs. And you're like, you know, you play a lot of other teams in your division that you have to be really good against also. It's not just the Chiefs that you have to play against, right? Like, you might get to the postseason and never play the Chiefs like last season. And that's what you're built to beat. And except they're not built to beat them. Bill Lasso said Chiefs needed all the help they could get. They could from injuries. Sean Hockley and the weather still stinks of wrongdoing. What wrongdoing, you ask? Everything. Bills superfan Don Burt writes, Tyler Bass missed the kick. That's the story. He sucked all year and it came down to him. He blew it. I just put a poll on Twitter randomly like this past week. I said, this all comes down to Tyler Bass. How confident are you that he's going to be able to do it? So I had like very confident, okay, and not confident at all. And guess what? What do you think won that one? If you had to guess,
probably middle of the road one.
Let's see, middle of the road. Like, okay,
like 50% middle of the road, something like that.
So yeah, it was 45% said okay. They felt okay about it. 25%, 26% said great, and 28% said not confident. So, like, you know,
when he lined up, when he lined up for the 44-yarder, I told my wife, I don't think he's gonna make it.
How could you have watched him kick this season and not thought, like, I don't think he's going to make it? He was 1 for 3. I was just telling Mike this before you got on, John. He was 1 for 3 last week. What gave you confidence that this was the week where he was going to, like, you know?
I wasn't confident in Bass. I wasn't confident in Martin. I wasn't confident in anything on special teams. And because of the defensive injuries, I wasn't super confident on the defense.
Defense.
I figured that offense was going to have to score touchdowns on every drive to win, which turns out they didn't need to, but they still needed to do a little bit more than that.
Yep.
And it can't all be on Josh Allen. It's got, like, other guys got to do more. Shakir did, Kincaid did, but, like, it's offensive line this season, I thought, was really improved since the last few years, but still not enough. They need a true number two receiver. I do think that Brady having, you know, starting from scratch for a year with a new playbook, you can't change everything halfway through the year. He was able to throw in a lot of good wrinkles and make some changes, but he can't change the whole thing halfway through the year.
Dude, I agree with everything you said. I actually disagree in a similar way, but, like, it makes your point, it drives your point even more home, is that, like, the Bills need a wide receiver too, but they might need a wide receiver one. Now, I don't believe that guys can regress in the middle of the season. I don't know if Stephon Diggs was dealing with an injury or whatnot, but the importance of getting that number one receiver, or at least a guy that can be a number two receiver, is that much more important, because we don't know if this is Diggs's, like, entry into being 30 in that club and maybe being on the downside of his career. Like, that has to cross their minds, and they have to go into this offseason with urgency, not only to get him more weapons, but that, like, this might be the case. It's possible that Stephon Diggs is...
I don't subscribe to the 30 age for receivers necessarily. However, I am questioning if Diggs has lost a step for sure in his specific case. So, and it kind of sinks from a trade / cut perspective because of the cap and dead money and everything else. So I don't know if they're stuck with him. And
well, they
extended
him this last offseason.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Well, because they were trying to save money on the caps. Yeah. They're extending all these players.
Man, they put a lot of eggs in one basket for this season. I mean, good for them, but we'll see how it affects them.
Well, yeah, the cap is going to be very interesting this offseason.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, and I'm not smart enough to make a suggestion. Just over, not just from Diggs, but, like, overall, the whole team. I think they're going to, they should keep Diggs, but there is some worry at wide receiver for sure. One and two, like you said.
Yeah, they need to get more help, and they're going to lose Gabe Davis. So, I mean, already you need to get more help in general. So let's not wait until the fourth round to start thinking about wide receivers or whatever, this offseason.
And they're pick number 28. So they got to wait a while.
Exactly.
What's going to happen in free agency? Oh, maybe they get Mike Evans, but they don't have any cap space. So what are they going to, you know, it's going to be tricky. But Brandon Bean has worked his magic. It's been, you know, he's been with the team for a while now, and he's always seemed to pull something out. So we'll see.
I believe they have 9 draft picks at this point, I believe. So I'd be okay with them using 2 of them on wide receiver, 1 early, 1 middle or something, like double dip, just like you did cornerbacks a few years ago when you got, you know, Kyrie Lim in the first round, then you went back for Christian Bedford in the 6th round. Like, one of them, you're more likely to hit the more shots you take, right?
Would you trade a future pick? I don't know if the Bills would, but would you trade a future first rounder to help you move up enough?
Yes. Yes, depending on the player, I would. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. If you give me a guy who could potentially get 1,000 yards in his rookie season, if you think he's that good, absolutely. I'd give up a first. I'd give up a first and a third if you think that's the guy. I don't know about a first and a second future. Maybe a first this year and a first next year and a second this year, possibly. Yeah. Charles Byrne, Go Bills writes, we had this within our reach at the 2-minute warning and wasted the opportunity by moving away from the run to kill the clock and get the score. But no, back to hero ball. it's kind of been our gripe this whole time.
I disagree with that. If they were going to go back to the run, they should have done it much earlier than the two-minute warning. It wasn't Herbal throwing it to Shakir wide open in the end zone while he got hit while he threw it.
I mean, yeah. I think people... I
keep coming back to that, but like every comment like that either you or these guys, or like anybody has made, keeps coming back to that. It's like, that's not what lost them the game. And it would have been great if they made it, but that was a good decision by Allen to try to throw it to Shakir in the end zone, I think.
Karen writes, the refs bailing out the Chiefs with all of the non-calls counted at least six. Yeah, there were definitely some holds that were very obvious that weren't called. Our D was a sieve with the injuries. Allen was carrying this team as much as possible. Could not pull it off for four quarters, but excuse me, but proud of the 6-6 comeback. Heartbroken, but always go Bills. She puts in good perspective. Now here is this is what I could see being John being one of your tweets, because this goes hard. This tweet goes hard in, as far as the negative energy surrounding the end of this season. And I'm not sure I disagree. I'm just saying that this is what it is. Louisiana Bills fan writes, "We are regressing hard next year, losing one or both safeties. Oliver regresses after a career year." We don't know that, but okay, he's saying that Oliver regresses after a career year. "Cornerback one coming off second major leg injury. Our biggest free agent signing in a minute flipped after injury and age. Best defender coming off broken leg." Matt Milano, he means. "There's going to have to be some big changes."
Yeah. Well, yeah, we knew a lot of that coming into the season, that our safeties are getting older and on short contracts. I don't know about the Oliver thing. The Tre'Davious White thing. Yeah, obviously, when he got hurt again, that in Milano getting hurt. Yeah, a lot of it's very true.
I'm not worried about Milano.
But even more than that, it's not just those major things. It's a lot of the, you look at the roster from the top down, and you look at the salary cap, and okay, they can restructure some things. But you reach a certain point where, and they've been signing a lot of vets to one-year deals who've been playing with Douglas and all these other guys. A lot of people are going to be gone. There's going to be a lot of roster turnover this year.
Yeah, we've been really fortunate that there hasn't been a ton going, into this season, really. I mean, all we lost was really Tremaine Edmonds, it feels like. This is going to be the first season where, where it feels like we might actually lose players that we want to keep. I think I'm going to end it there with the tweets. But thank you guys all for tweeting in. Those were the hot takes brought to you by the TwinSpire Sportsbook at Delago. I want to do some thank yous, as I always do, for the last episode of the season. First and foremost, I want to thank all the listeners to the podcast, those that have supported us for the last 7 years we've been doing this, those that were there to the beginning, and those that just found us recently and have reached out and say that you really enjoy what we do and you like listening week in and week out. We appreciate you guys being a part of this show, tweeting in, messaging us. Some people send us some funny meme ideas for our social media accounts. So appreciate all of you all. Appreciate like the ones that don't say anything, because there's a lot of you that listen that don't say anything. But then there are some fans like Ryan and Chelsea in Hawaii that send us a package every year, which is really cool. Got to give a shout out to them, because I forgot to do that before Christmas is when they send something. So really cool. I definitely don't expect anyone to send us stuff, but certainly appreciate the kind gestures. And not only that, but everything you guys have all done for us to get us to the point we are. I want to thank our sponsor, the TwinSpire Sportsbook at Delago, at the Delago Resort and Casino. Their sponsors have been with us for about 3 years now, and they're a great sponsor. It is an excellent venue. If you haven't checked it out, I'm already trying to set up a dinner with my wife and John and Mike and their significant others, and maybe we can set one up where if we do it enough in advance, like we can meet some of you all if you are in the area, if you're in the central New York, Western New York, or whatever area you guys want. Maybe we could all get in on some sort of parlay. We make a couple of bets there at the TwinSpire Sportsbook and do something fun. It's a really cool sponsor. They've been supportive for us for several years and help us do everything that we do here on the podcast. Want to thank Mike and John, our co-hosts to this podcast, that have been with us since the beginning, have been with me since the beginning, since I came up with an idea randomly asked them to come over someday, one day in on our, we sat down on my patio in the summertime, 2017, I believe it was. I was like, hey, you know, there's not a lot of Bills podcasts out there. I think we could do it. And they just were kind of like, they kind of like went along with it. It's been a lot of work. They take a lot of time away from their families and their significant others and their household duties or whatever they do to record this and take time to write notes and to research and to do all the things that they do. So thank you guys, Mike and John, for not only being my best friends, but also for doing this with us. Especially when you get into our age, so into your 30s and now our 40s, but there's just not enough time to hang out with your friends and do things that you would like to do as often as you'd like to do. So this is just another avenue for us to be friends and to discuss the Bills and to hang out, as it were. So appreciate that. So thank you both for all your hard work that you put in, week out, all the tangents we go on, and along with all the Bills discussion that we do. And also want to thank our significant others for putting up with this, because like I mentioned, all the time that we do to do this is time that we're not putting our kids to bed, or we're not, you know, spending time, quality time with our significant others or whatever. So thank you to all three of them for doing that for us. It is time out of their day that they step up for us each week in and week out throughout the entire year, and we appreciate the hell out of them. And yeah, I think, am I missing something? Guys, I feel like I caught everything. Listeners, sponsors, families, you guys, I think I got everything. Had to do, unfortunately, I hope in the future, and it's so new because we just, the pain is so fresh because we just lost, but I'm really hoping that I will eventually do one of these thank yous in the middle of February after we're talking about a Super Bowl win as opposed to like a playoff loss, because, you know, these always suck, but it has to be done. I appreciate everything you guys all do, all the listeners and everything that's been with us, that leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts, that, you know, that are part of the show, become a part of the show, and yeah, for sticking with us. So anything else you guys want to add before I end this episode? Any final thoughts on the season or anything in general, Mike or John?
Maybe I'll save it for another time. All those positive thoughts, I don't want to bring something I get offensive.
Leave on a good note and be like, well, actually, here's the reason why we should all be discouraged and upset.
No, yeah, I'll save that one. You were talking before about, you know, on your patio, the doing it for the first time. I remember you had been talking about it for a while, doing a Bills podcast. And I was like, yeah, that'd be cool, whatever. Yeah, I know. We talk about the Bills anyway, whatever. And then the one day I show up and you have like the microphones out and everything, like, oh, geez, this is actually going to happen. All right, let's play Kate Nate. And now how many years later, we're still doing it.
Let's play Kate Nate. All right. Like I'm a child. It's just like, okay, yeah, we're going to go to the zoo. Okay, sure. And then the day comes, you're like, oh, shit, I actually said we were going to go to the zoo. today's the day. All right, let's go. Let's go, Nate. Let's go to the zoo. Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. And I probably had talked about it for years before we actually did it and have you guys over for games. And it's like, why don't we just record this? This is fun. This is interesting. This is fun. And nobody else is doing it. Yeah. Then I had the microphone set up. Yeah. So that was for anyone that hadn't been following us for the first season, we all stood around, like we all got together before we had software that we could remotely record. We all sat around a microphone and recorded everything, like preview, recap podcast. We did that all the first season. It was a lot of work. So I'm surprised you guys are still doing it after all that work. It's hours. We've had over, I think I calculated at one point, like over 1.5 million listens and downloads, which is pretty crazy considering we're just like a Bill specific podcast. But yeah.
Maybe Mike, and branch out.
Yeah, we should do, imagine if this is how we're doing with the Bills podcast, imagine if we did something that wasn't, you know, was more lighthearted all the time instead of,
what if we had a Chiefs podcast?
We do this for the Bills, the Chiefs, the Steelers, Mike, any final thoughts before we end this one?
No, it was a really great season. Bills last, seven games, it felt like playoff football. So I'm proud of being a Bills fan. It seemed like the team fan base really came together. I think Allen is cream of the crop. The Super Bowl window is his entire career, as far as I'm concerned. At the end of the year, I think 31 fan bases are disappointed, and this was just our week. Better luck next year, but it's always fun. Good excuse to get together, hang out, and go Bills.
Yeah, so Mike basically did his sign-off right there, so I guess I'll swing it over to John. Signing off for John.
Next year's the year.
And for me, Nate, thank you guys for sticking with us, especially like I at times they didn't look that good this season. The Bills went 6-6, then they not only made the playoffs, they got the second seed. There's a lot to be excited about this season. They turned around their franchise's direction within a season, and this definitely hurts. I'm not trying to take away anyone's depression or anger or frustration with this season and the way it ended, because I'm pretty much there with you. But at the same time, I'm not going to end on a sour note, because there's a lot more to discuss. There's lots of things. It's going to take a few weeks for this to get exciting, probably after the Super Bowl, till I get excited about free agency or anything like that. But for me, Nate, go Bills. It was an exciting season, to say the least, and our time is still out there. 2024 isn't the year that we win the Super Bowl, but that doesn't mean it can't be 2025 or 2026. Like Mike said, Josh Allen's here. The Super Bowl window is never closed. Go Bills, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.